Rick, let's begin with this week's flood event. There are a lot of damaged roads and infrastructure. The estimates are still coming in, but clearly the cost to local and state governments to repair the damage will be significant.
It's going to be very significant. I would think it would be in the hundreds of millions of dollars of damage to private property and at least that much to public assets, the roads, the infrastructure that we've all seen pictures of, just huge devastation, of course. And so, yes, it will clearly be big.
Now, many homes and a lot of cars were lost to flooding as well. Many individuals, at least some I talked to, had no flood insurance and will have to pay for the cleanup themselves.
That's a particular issue here with this rain event as opposed to a hurricane. And if you live in a flood zone, and obviously we know in this part of the country that flood zones are mapped imperfectly, but if you live in a flood zone, then your bank is going to require that you carry flood insurance in order to have a mortgage. And so with a storm surge from hurricanes, people often are covered by their flood insurance. And while coverage is very imperfect and would rarely cover the full amount and certainly doesn't cover the enormous emotional and other sorts of burdens that come with hurricane damage, here in this event, while people that have car insurance are likely to be covered for flood damage, with homes, they're not. Flood insurance for homes is a separately purchased policy. I think that's what happens when you have the federal government offering below market flood insurance rates, although our flood insurance experience over the past couple of decades with the federal program, Florida is actually a net payer. We pay in much more in premiums than we take out in benefits because Florida is a known risk. And so we have relatively extensive flood insurance under the federal policy. But with this rain event, people likely were not covered because they're not in flood zones. And what that means is they're going to have to cut back on spending in other areas. So we might expect to see a bump up in spending on carpet and sheetrock, offset by a bump down wherever these folks would have otherwise spent their money, or they'll have to take it out of savings. They'll have to get it from somewhere. So this event is unlikely to have quite the upward tick in retail spending that we saw. For example, with Hurricane Ivan, it was clear in the data that for the 2 years following Ivan, and of course we had Dennis the next summer, but for those 2 years, taxable retail sales were about 25% above what just simple population growth would have predicted. And so that was a big impact. I expect that we won't get that same bump with this rain-fueled event.
Rick, let's shift gears now. The April jobs report is out, and the Labor Department says 288,000 jobs were created last month.
That's a great number. It was higher than the consensus estimate before the fact. We were looking for around 200,000, came in at 288. And on top of that, we got upward revisions. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics gets in more data as time goes by, and so they looked back at March. They revised that upward. They revised February upward as well. So we have 36,000 more jobs in February and March than we knew about when the initial estimates came out. So really a strong jobs report. The unemployment rate declined by 0.4%, went down from 6.7 to 6.3. That's certainly good, but it's not quite as good as you might think because some of it was fueled by people exiting the labor force, not even looking for work. And so 288,000 jobs, great number. The decline in the unemployment rate is good, but it's not quite as great as it seems.
And given this economic news, a little bit better, the economy, the Federal Reserve still not ready to end the government stimulus program.
No, the Federal Reserve has indicated that interest rates are going to continue to stay low. It was interesting to see that when we got the quarter one GDP report, which came in very, very low, growth at only 0.1% over the previous year for that quarter. You know, you and I, Sandra, have talked about the adverse weather conditions throughout much of the first quarter. I forget how many times we've mentioned that. And That showed up in the GDP report, but today's jobs number is a good offset. And so the stock market reacted well to the low GDP report because it was a clear sign that the Fed was going to have to keep interest rates low and that the stock market could continue to rise. It's interesting with the jobs report earlier today at 8:30 Eastern time, what we didn't see was a bump in the stock market because it's kind of a mixed bag. The economy's doing great, but it makes it more likely that the Fed will raise interest rates sooner. So overall, great jobs report.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.